25th chapter. And now this is what happens when pastor doesn't fully prepare. Jesus said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all the bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You'd better go to the dealer and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went out to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know. Okay. I am having a literal misprint in my Bible. "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. Yeah, I had to look at that twice. It is a literal misprint. I better mark that. These texts for November are kind of interesting, aren't they? You can see in them what once was an extension of the season of Advent. A focus, like the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, on the delayed promise of Jesus coming again. And Jesus will come again. That expectation is clear from the earliest writings of the church. We proclaim it in the creeds of the church. It is in our basic statements of faith. But Jesus has not come back yet. And so we live in the meantime. In the reality of two outcomes: that Jesus comes tomorrow, and that Jesus doesn't come tomorrow. And so the question for the church of Matthew, and one that still haunts us now, is how then do we live in the meantime? Do we live as if Jesus isn't coming tomorrow, or perhaps ever? Or do we live as if Jesus is coming tomorrow, or the next hour, or the next minute? I wonder, along with other commentators, if the last words of Matthew's gospel give us a lens in which to see this text. It's the Great Commission, where the risen Jesus tells his followers, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." I also wonder if the first sermon of Jesus, amongst his first words, the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, gives us a lens in which to see this text. A painting of the vision of the reign of God already here on earth. Come near in Jesus. I wonder if what Matthew is saying is that in the meantime, we prepare for the day Jesus comes by living out who he has called us to be. We proclaim the gospel to all nations. We baptize in the name of the triune God. We teach the things we know about Jesus, who he is, and what we are called to be. We live as if those who mourn will be comforted, loving our enemies as well as our neighbors, turning the other cheek, not clenching the fist. I wonder if this waiting is an active thing. You can hear it in the Great Commission, can't you? Go, make, baptize, teach, love, comfort, make peace. It's all done with the expectation of the coming again, but not the necessity that it happened tomorrow. And in many ways, no matter how we live in the meantime, we are to do just that, to live, to move, to breathe, to interact, to love, to laugh, all while keeping an eye out for Jesus to come again. To imagine that we live within sight of that. It's kind of like trying to get that last forbidden record or whatever it is you weren't supposed to be doing put away because you just heard the garage door start to open in mom's home, right? The other question that might affect how we wait is to think about what we are waiting for. When Jesus does come again, where does your imagination go? Is it a separation of the sheep and the goats, a time of judgment and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth? Or do we envision a party? This is what the text we have today reminds us is coming. We are waiting for something joyful. A party. A wedding party at that. Where there is music and dancing and plenty to eat and to drink, and we get to do the chicken dance. I would pay money to see Jesus doing the chicken dance. And what could be better than that kind of party? Christian author Robert Capon wrote about it this way. When all is said and done, when we've scared ourselves silly with the now or never urgency of faith and the once and always finality of judgment, we need to take a deep breath and let it out with a laugh. Because what we are watching for is a party. And that party is not just down the street making up its mind when to come to us. It's already hiding in our basement, banging on our steam pipes, laughing its way up our cellars. The unknown day and hour of its finally bursting into the kitchen and roistering its way through the whole house is not dreadful. It's all part of the divine lark of grace. God is not our mother-in-law coming to see whether her wedding present china has been chipped. He's a funny old uncle with a salami under one arm and a bottle of wine under the other. We do indeed need to watch for him, but only because it would be such a pity to miss all the fun. And there is more than that. Listen to the promise of Jesus, the last words of the Gospel of Matthew. I am with you always to the end of the age. Even as we are here in the meantime, we also know that Jesus is with us now. How? In the meal that we share each week. Bread and wine that Jesus says, this is my body, this is my blood. In the word that is proclaimed and sung and spoken, which the author of the Gospel of John reminds us is Jesus. In the person we clothe and shelter. The prisoner we visit, as the author of Matthew himself reminds us later in this chapter 25, Jesus is here. Even as we wait, we do not wait alone. Waiting is hard. Ask a child as Christmas approaches. Waiting is hard, especially if the outcome is not particularly good for us, a diagnosis or a verdict. But what we wait for is good news. It will be as the prophet Amos said, when Christ comes, then justice will roll down like waters, righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. War will be no more. Death will be no more. People won't kill our brothers and sisters while they sit at their breakfast tables or huddle in their apartments. Those waters of justice and righteousness, right relationship with God and with each other, are those same waters we hear about in the book of Revelation. The river of the water of life, bright as crystal, it says, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb who is Jesus. And on its banks, watered by that river, the tree of life, with 12 kinds of fruit whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. Grief will be no more. Disease will be no more. There will be peace between peoples, not because one dominates the other, but because we love one another, created in the image of God. This is the divine imagination that Jonah and then later Lena get baptized into today. Where the waters of baptism will clean their vision so that they can see that overlaid on this world. The reality of the reign of God, right? We talked about that last week, this divine imagination. And that reign of God looks an awful lot like a wild thumping party with friends and those who will be friends. It looks like a feast fit for a wandering son who has come home again, where there is food enough for all. A Thanksgiving feast beyond compare. Can you imagine it? A feast we get a foretaste of at this meal and in this place, surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses we talked about last week. Can you see them? And joined by two new saints, Jonah and Lena. A feast of wine and bread beyond compare. A feast hosted by the one who will free us from our own delusions, Jesus. And so let us keep this imagination alive as we envision Christ's return and all that it stands for. And in so doing, proclaim that God's promises are true. That when we were baptized into Christ's death, we were also baptized into his resurrection. And that what we eat today is but a foretaste of that great banquet feast to come. Just appetizers for that great thumping wedding party to come. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen.